This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, this is Ken Tangen. This is episode 65 of What's It Like. My guest is Mark Ulrichsen, best known as an illustrator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to being a painter or a sculptor.
Yeah. I mean, I define myself as an illustrator and an artist, but I make my living primarily as an illustrator because it's hard to make your living as an artist. And then I'm probably best known for working for The New Yorker.
Ah, yes. So did you grow up in, you're in San Francisco, did you grow up in that area?
I did. I grew up in the peninsula, which is the area just south of San Francisco. And I grew up primarily in a town called San Carlos, which is about halfway between San Francisco and San Jose, near Palo Alto, where Stanford and Silicon Valley and all that stuff is.
Oh, what a nice place.
It was and is.
Did you come from a large family?
No. I have one brother who's 2 years younger. And then my mom got remarried at one point to a man with 5 kids. So I had some stepbrothers and a stepsister. And my dad got remarried to a family with 2 kids. So I have stepbrothers, but just, the core family was just my brother and I, and for a long time, just my mom.
With all those influences, who had the biggest influence on your life growing up?
My mom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really close to her. And, I saw her struggle and do a lot to raise us. We went from a situation where we had, a nice house. My folks got separated, small house, moved to a bigger house. That marriage ended, moved to a small house, moved to a little apartment, moved to a littler apartment. So we had a kind of a descending, upbringing.
Yeah.
Got by with lots of love and support from my mom. And so she's my hero.
What was your major challenge as a child?
Oh, for me, I think because of the separation, and you're a psychologist, but the fact that my folks got divorced when I was 8, and then my mom briefly was remarried, a bad second marriage that ended after 3 years, and so then she started dating and stuff. I think I was just afraid of losing my mom, afraid of being on her own, and so I was a nervous kid a lot as growing up, that, we're going to be on our own. My brother and I, how are we going to fend for ourselves? Which was, somewhat irrational, but, it felt like at one point in my life, I had this horrible fear of losing my mom, and it hit me overnight. And then when I was about 18, it seemed to leave me overnight. And it was just like, everything's fine. So I matured and got through it.
Did you always want to be an artist?
No, I didn't know what I wanted to do other than somehow be involved in sports. And I went from sport to sport to see if I could play anything at any kind of quality level. And I found that I couldn't and learned that early on, from baseball to soccer to golf. I'm not that big. I'm 5'9", 155 pounds. So I'm a little guy. But art itself was something that I enjoyed to do. And I used to draw caricatures on my desk of my classmates, but it was nothing I ever took seriously. And when I went off to college, I was studying journalism because I've always been a newspaper junkie and a news junkie. And I got steered in college to graphic design, which is what I actually did for 13 years after school. I was a publication designer. And then I switched and became an illustrator later in life.
So graphic design is setting up what, pages and relationships between objects, or how does that work?
Well, graphic design is a lot of things. It can be anything, but it's basically applied art. So, we studied everything from corporate identity design to publication design, which was the field that I most liked. So I worked as a newspaper designer and as a magazine art director. And it's just organizing information, being attuned to typography. I've always liked type on imagery. And it was magazines and publications were what I was most interested in. And that's what I did, publication design.
How did you get from that to illustration?
I had a job in Boston. I was working for Northeastern University's publishing group as a designer. And they gave us a perk. You could go on one trip a year to a conference or something like that. And they said it didn't matter what, as long as it somehow pertained to your field. And so on the East Coast, I had read about something called the Illustrator's Workshop that was happening in Tarrytown, New York, outside of Manhattan. And it was a bunch of illustrators who were gods of the time, Bernie Fuchs, Bob Peaks, Robert Heindel, Alan Kober, people like that. And so I thought, well, you know, I have my graphic design background. That's what I do. But I like to draw, and I had done some drawings on the side. And so I thought, I'm going to go to this workshop. And when I went to it, I showed my drawings. They weren't really even illustrations at the time, to all these people I didn't know, and I got positive feedback. And so it was the first time that someone who wasn't a family member or a friend liking my drawings, I thought, huh, you know, maybe there's something here. And so I decided that I wanted to try to do two things. I wanted to do publication design as well as draw and paint and try to be an illustrator. And so that was the catalyst to get me going.
So what makes a good illustration?
For me, it's something that is arresting and stops you from flipping a page. You know, we have a culture where you're bombarded, especially now with the internet, constantly getting information thrown at you. And I want to slow someone down and take a look at what I've done. And what you're trying to do is communicate something about whatever your problem you're trying to solve is, but you're also trying to give a sense of who you are through, you know, how you go about solving a problem. And I have a lighter side and a darker side, and I like to have both of those come out in my various pieces, depending on what's called for.
Do you have a particular look to your illustrations?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I've had a friend call it graceful awkwardness, which I buy into.
I like that.
Yeah, and my kids used to say, well, it's kind of cartoony and it's kind of real. But basically, I spend a lot of time concentrating on the emotion I'm trying to convey in any character. I do a lot of people. And also, you know, trying to kind of get underneath psychologically what someone may be all about. Someone once said, and a good way to learn about why people like your work is to ask them why they hired you or called you for a job. And someone said of my work that there's always this sense of something foreboding about to happen. Or they said that that there's a sense of joy about being alive. And that's definitely how I feel about life, too. I'm happy to be here.
So how do you get, I mean, do you do portraits, too? Do people come to you and say, I want an illustration or a portrait of me?
Some people do. I do some private commissions of family portraits, and I advertise in a magazine called Bark. So I do a lot of dog portraits. And for assignments, typically it's portraying somebody. It may be, so I'm trying to think. Right now I have an assignment to do the three principals of a design studio in L.A. I've worked with, and they're having their 20th anniversary next year. And so it's a surprise gift, and I'm going to do the three principals on panels that will be a triptych that will look as if they were old Renaissance portraits of these guys. And it'll populate it with some of the items I find. They took pictures of all the tchotchkes that are around their office and stuff like that, things that are important to them will be in that. So, you know, that's, you know, an example of an assignment I might get.
Mm-hmm. If I wanted to hire you to do a portrait of me, of course, since I'm an albino, it's pretty easy. You know, you start with a white canvas and then put a couple shadows on it. You're pretty much done. but what would it cost somebody to do something like that?
I have a price list that every 3 or 4 years I up the prices, because it's the only way I can get more money in this field, because in the world of magazine illustration and newspaper illustration, the fees just go down. But I start off at, I think, $1,500 for something that's like 8x10, so really small, to anywhere up to like $15,000. Or actually, I've done a few $22,000 commissions. So just, it depends on size and how complex it is.
So what's the process like? I decide, okay, I want, of course, I'm a large person, so I'd like a large image of me. I would like, you know, 2x3 feet or something. Do I send you a picture? Do I sit for you?
Nope. It's all, you know, in this day and age, everything is done electronically or through the mail. So I would do what we're doing now. I'd talk to you about, okay, Ken, what is it that you would like to have portrayed about you? Tell me about you. What are the important things in your life? And I would ask for as many photographs as possible. And I don't have to worry if you're the center of attention in the photo. You know, I do a lot of selective editing when I'm working on stuff. And I would try to come up with, in a typical situation, two or three options to send you to choose from. And then these are kind of rough drawings, and then you pick the one that you like, hopefully, and you don't say, I want part of A mixed with part of B. And it's either A or B or C. And then I do a tight drawing that you sign off on, and then I do a painting. And that's the process.
So you would do an actual physical painting.
Yeah.
Do you do that also if it's a magazine or something? Do you create a do you work electronically?
Nope. I paint, and one of the great joys is despite what computers can offer, I still want to be on the team of people who have been, you know, putting paintbrushes into some sort of pigment and putting it on some sort of surface, and been doing it since the caves in Lascaux. That's what I like doing.
I don't know anything about painting, but I know that there's a difference between oil and acrylics. Are you do you have a particular preference?
Well, I don't have a preference. I switch around a lot. I'm self-taught as a painter, and so acrylic is the easiest medium to work with. So I work primarily in acrylic, but for instance, right now I just started an oil painting class. We've only had our first class, but I want to learn the classic techniques of working in oil. But I also work in other water-based medium like gouache, which is a opaque watercolor, and egg tempera, which was the medium used by you know, the pre-Renaissance artists before the advent of oil painting. So I switch around just to kind of break up the boredom of maybe doing the same thing over and over again. And typically, as I tell people, whatever medium I'm working on is the one I wish I wasn't using.
When a magazine calls you and says, I want this kind of illustration done, how long does it take typically? How long do they give you for the whole process?
Well, here's an example. Yesterday, I got an email from the Washington Post, and they said if it comes down to Obama and Mitt Romney, the kind of elephant in the room that no one's talking about is their support of health care. So we want to show how Romney and Obama are not discussing health care in an illustration. They wanted the sketch this morning and the finish Friday afternoon, and they were offering me a grand total of $450.
Wow.
So I politely declined, and I even wrote him a letter and said, you know, I got to tell you, you know, after spending yesterday morning filling out college financial aid forms for my sophomore daughter, it's like, you know, I'm going to be in hock for her college education for years and years to come. And you're asking me for like 3 days of my working world to make $450. It's like, you know, call a college student, you know, call someone who's been doing this for 20 years.
So has the industry, particularly magazines and newspapers, it must have changed a lot since you started working with them.
It has. And in fact, when I first went to that workshop in Tarrytown, New York in 1983, and again in 1984, those guys were all driving Porsches and Mercedes. You know, I ride a bike. The industry has definitely taken a hit. It's one of the few fields I know where the rates don't even go up, they go down. Mm. So it's really hard, you know, sorry students, but it's hard to make a living as an editorial illustrator. But it's great because you get a lot of exposure. It helps my personal work, the art part of it, because people are familiar with my work from seeing it in publications. And you had asked earlier about, like, how long do you have to do stuff? It can vary. I mentioned this project for doing these three-panel portraits of these principals of this agency. That's due the end of January. And but with a magazine or a newspaper, it's typical that we need it tomorrow. We need it in 2 days. You know, for the New Yorker, if you get a whole week, that's a lifetime. So, and I've done New Yorker covers in a day. You know, where at 8 in the morning they approve it and they're going to pick it up at 8 that night. So you have to be fast.
Do you remember your first New York cover?
Come on, who doesn't remember their first time? It was 1994. I had just started working with them in 93, and they called me and they said, we're thinking of illustrating a story on the inside about the life of Hillary Clinton, and it's going to be a major feature. And at the time, the New Yorker didn't illustrate their inside stories. The cover was just a separate thing entirely with nothing to do with the inside of the magazine, which 99.9% of the time is still the case. But in this case, they wanted to illustrate that story on the cover. So they wanted it to be Hillary, Bill, and Chelsea. And they actually described what they wanted. They said Hillary is wearing the White House as a hat. And it's, as the French art director said, it's obfuscating Bill, which I love. word. And so that was my first cover.
Wow. So what's the best thing about your job?
The freedom, the exposure, the fact that I'm in control, that I don't have to say, oh, I'm going to do this job, even though I don't like it. For the most part, I pick and choose what I work on. There's always something I can work on if work is slow, whether it's gallery stuff or a kid's book. And I have a real strong Protestant work ethic, you know, so the thing is I have a lot of control and I really want that in life. The bad thing is I work at home and there's always work and it's hard to say I'm done for the day.
Hmm. Being at home is distracting?
No, it's great. Because I don't have to schlep stuff around and everything's here. But the other side of the coin is I have to be able to say, you know, it's 9 o'clock, I'm done working for the day. You know, it's like you called me at 10 this morning. That's about when I might start my day. And so there's a lot of freedom within it. But it's lonely, too. That's, you know, one of the flip sides is I'm a people person. That's why I think I paint people. So I can at least be around people in my paintings because I just, it's a solitary field.
Mm-hmm.
So I work by myself.
What type of person would be good at your job?
Someone who has a point of view, someone who loves, you know, creating things that didn't exist before they created them. Someone, you got to have passion, you know, in anything in life to be successful. So you got to have passion for being a painter, whether it's an assignment that someone comes to you with and then you're an illustrator, or whether you come up with it yourself and then you're an artist.
So if someone wanted to have a job like yours, how would they get it?
Well, it might be different nowadays from when I first started out, but you have to expose yourself to the people who are the art buyers. So you create work on your own, and then you send it to people who are art buyers. So you either buy a list somewhere where it costs you $1,000 a year to subscribe to get the names of people. When I started, I would just go to the newsstands and look in magazines that I wanted to work for and find the names of people in the art department and send them samples of my work. And I'm sure you can still do that. It's hard to find any listing of someone's email address, and people are, I think, are wary to open up attachments and stuff from people they don't know. So I would recommend, you know, you do a mail campaign and send people samples of your work and keep doing it until you get some jobs.
If there is such a thing, what's a typical day like for you?
Read the New York Times news and business section from one end to the other. Read the San Francisco Chronicle sports page and local section from one end to the other, because I need to be up on current events and I care about it. And then come to my office upstairs where I'm at now. I'm in a two-story Victorian in San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury, and make my first decision of the day. What music am I going to listen to? And put on my music and decide, you know, what job I want to work on. Some of them have deadlines that mean I've got to work on that. And like right now, I typically have anywhere from 6 to 10, 12 different projects that I rotate around. And so depending on what's going on that day, I might be drawing, I might be painting. If I'm drawing, I can wear whatever I want. When I'm painting, I'm stuck with the clothes that have paint all over them. So I have to put on my painting clothes because I make a big mess. And I have a little 150 square foot office studio that barely fits a big canvas in here. And so this is kind of where I work, and I have a little deck with a little sunshine out there. And I'll work until late afternoon and then take the dog for a walk or go out. I give myself about an hour of exercise time a day. So either walk my dog or do something, go for a bike ride, and maybe help the kid with the homework or not, and work maybe at nighttime until sometimes 1 in the morning or sometimes till just 9 at night. So long hours. Self-employed people, I think, work a lot. I work about 6 to 7 days a week.
Do you like being famous?
Am I? sure, I like people to, you know your work and recognize it. And I think as an illustrator, you always feel that sense of approval when someone emails or calls with an assignment. As an artist, you get that sense of approval if someone actually plops down the money to, you know, buy something of yours. So it's a different thing there. But yeah, I enjoy people recognizing my work and being known in my field. Certainly, that's great.
Do you do art show galleries?
Exhibitions, exhibits?
Exhibitions, yes, exhibits.
I have in the past, and then I stopped for a while. The good and bad of gallery stuff is that it could take a year of working here and there on projects to develop enough stuff for a show. And as one gallery owner said to me, he would need like a dozen paintings, and a successful show would mean I'd sell three of them, and they take half of the money. So that means I would do a dozen paintings and get paid for like one and a half of them. So that's a little difficult. On the other hand, you could develop people who want to collect your work and support you no matter what you do. And I have a number of friends who went from illustration to fine art, and they're super successful. But I don't know if they've got two kids and, you know, a big mortgage and all the things that I have to deal with just to, you know, make sure that, you know, everything runs well here.
So, Mark, everyone has to give themselves motivation occasionally. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
By going to bed angry because I'm not working well on something. And it just, I want to like what I'm doing. And then also seeing other people's work always inspires me. So whether it's going to a gallery or a museum or just flipping through some art book, that always turns me on. But also, I kind of liken it to either being an athlete or a musician or running a restaurant. You know, every day you got to perform. Some days you have it, some days you don't. Some days you're more inspired than others. And when things do work out, even little things just really turn you on. You know, hey, I drew a hand great, or I really like how the color next to this color really works. But I also have a problem almost with every piece I do that when I first come up with the idea, it's the best idea I've ever had. And when I first start painting, it's like going to be the best painting I've ever done. And about halfway through, something happens. It's like, what happened? This sucks. I can't believe how bad this is. I just want to be done with this thing. And then you get done, and you're kind of disappointed because I pictured something in my mind, and it didn't come out that way. And then I see it in publication, whether it's a week later or a month later or 5 months later. And then you go, no, maybe that wasn't so bad. So there's that internal psychology that happens a lot. But for me, to just get excited is just a matter of looking at other people's stuff.
Let me turn the question around. When you have to calm yourself, how do you soothe yourself down?
I guess just put things in perspective, or, you know, I mean, I'm always one that's just said, you know, hey, I get to be alive. You know, I get to walk this planet right now, and it's a short little journey, so enjoy it. So I don't know that I need a lot of calming down. You know, I'm kind of one of those happy guys just to be around.
Is there an event in your life that has challenged you to the core?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's an event as much as an assignment once. About 3 years ago, I don't know when it was, I got a project from an ad agency that was working with United Airlines and the Chicago Bears. And at the Chicago Bears Soldier Field, they have this like luxury box area. And Cadillac had been the company that branded the area. Now United Airlines was just going to brand the area. And so this firm came to me and they wanted me to do paintings that would be blown up to murals and hang in the walls of the stadium for 7 years. Problem was, I was going to an illustration conference back east and then going on vacation from there. And I had like 5 weeks from when they gave me the assignment to when everything was, when I was leaving on my trip. And I had to do about 12 paintings, and like a painting might have 12 different portraits in it. And I knew that they were going to take my painting that was going to be maybe 18 inches high and blow it up to be 15 feet high. So it had to be super clean and precise. And I figured out that I would have to work 7 days a week, about 13 hours a day to pull it off. And I could remember sometimes where I was almost hyperventilating, just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I'd wake up in the morning and go, okay, get to work at 8 and go to bed at 1 or 2 and then do it again tomorrow. And, you know, the payoff is that, you know, I've got these murals at Soldier Field that are really cool. And one of these days I'll actually go visit them, you know. But that was the most challenging project I think I've ever had. And it just was the circumstances of the time. You can't turn a job like that down. And you want to do your best at almost all times. And I knew it was going to be blown up really huge, so I had to be really precise. I was painting a lot of times with a magnifying glass to try to get the littlest details right. So, yeah, that was a big challenge.
Is there an idea or a principle that helps you through your challenges?
Well, I don't know that I've consciously thought of one. So I say you give a talk. I give talks every once in a while, and you get a little anxious before a talk, and things go really well. And a friend of mine once told me that her father told her, just think of things in a cosmic sense. You know, think of how big the universe is. Think how many stars there are. Think how long the planet's been around. What's you know, irking you is pretty small potatoes. So, you know, chill out. And that's kind of what I do. And it's like, man, I'm not going to worry about it too much.
If you were giving a commencement address for high school or college, what would you say?
I'd say, listen to Steve Jobs' commencement address at Stanford. That was fantastic. Well, you know, it's follow your bliss. It's that whole thing. Find out what you love to do. Hope that it's legal, and find a way to do it. That's what I did. And also don't be afraid to fail. You know, I mean, failure is a big part of everything. And in fact, it teaches you a lot. You know, I'm a huge baseball fan. So the great players fail 7 out of 10 times trying to hit a ball. You got to learn that it's okay to fail. I had a horrible, you know, disastrous first starting out, but you can't give up. And also, I remember reading the artist Paul Klee's diaries, and he talked about that persistence is more important than talent. And I believe that. It's the hanging in there that matters more than anything, is to keep doing it-ness of it all, just to just keep plugging away. If it's something you love, it'll show. And that's what, and then people will respond to that. If you're going through the motions, then you know, why would anybody else want to deal with you?
I want to thank Mark Ulrichsen for joining me today. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it too, Ken. Thanks for asking.
If you'd like to leave a comment, ask a question, or get more info, go to whatsitlike.info.